This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Hold your carriage horses and tighten those corsets. Bridgerton is back. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom. But has Penelope truly pushed aside her feelings for Colin? Will Colin realize his feelings before another suitor takes Penelope's hand? This gentle reader can't wait to find out. Watch part one of Bridgerton only on Netflix May 16th.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday special episode of the UUP Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. We love a Sunday special, but we love a Sunday special guest.
Yes.
That are, these, our guests today are good friends of mine. We have personal...
You know, how do you guys know each other?
Okay, so the couple that is here... I went to high school with one, became friends with their husband, and now they're here today. They were on Shark Tank. They are the inventors of the Bantam Bagel, Nick and Elise Alexak. Thank you for coming on.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
This is unbelievable. Look, Elise and I have known each other since 10 years old. How old?
At least 10.
That's where I want to start. Is like, what was Jared like in high school?
Oh no, high school Jared.
That's what I've been waiting to ask. Yeah.
Jared was, I always say, part of our girl gang.
There it is. Part of our girl gang. I've always been the male voice in the world.
There was four of us, seven, because we had to do a whole Spice Girl thing, and if somebody wasn't available, you had to rotate, and that's, then Jared.
You gotta always have a Spice Girl.
Okay. Which Spice Girl were you?
Oh, the manager.
He was the guy in the Parmesan chair in crisscross applesauce.
Okay. That's right. So we had a lot of female friends.
He was part of the gang.
Okay.
Part of the gang.
And what was he like, though?
Fun. He just been right here.
Careful, Elise. You got a book to sell. Yeah,
this is being recorded.
You remember when we were partners in sixth grade math project?
I remember we were partners sixth grade, and we had to do like a car or something, and I painted the floor at your parents' house by accident, and I don't think I've heard the end of it ever since.
Wow, so you're not welcome there anymore.
No, I'm not welcome the Pulse home anymore. So listen, but here's the more important part. Okay. Elise wrote a book because they sold their business, after a major success, Bantam Bagels. I remember when they started the company, to bring me into the story,
to make the story about you. Yes.
Nick, the book's mostly about Jared.
Right.
Chapter one.
We met Jared.
So he was baby Spice.
We were all living in the city. Everyone was doing their own thing. And I remember Nick and Elise were like, we moved in together, we're having a kid, and we're making bagel balls.
Right.
How does it start?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
take us back to the beginning.
The idea truly came to Nick in the middle of the night in a dream.
Yeah.
Well, actually, like, rewind. How did you guys meet?
So we both went to Columbia.
Okay.
I played baseball, Elise played lacrosse, and as a freshman lacrosse player, you're... initiation, you know, for the team, you know, friendly, getting to know.
Don't get canceled on this show.
You know, just, you know, doing things that you just, you know, meet everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the things to meet everybody was to come to the baseball fraternity house and do, you know, some activities. And then the last part of that journey was to come into a room where the entire baseball team was sitting and they had to do like dance contests and like all this.
You were in the dance contest?
No, we were just the audience to the dance contest.
Elise, this was 2003. Things were different.
I know.
So you did. So that's how you met. You saw
any embarrassing things
across the room. Well, no, I've got to have
It has a wholesome ending. Okay. So the last task is to find the cutest boy in the room.
Okay.
Sit on his lap and give him a kiss on the cheek.
So it's like a sorority, like, hazing thing.
Yeah.
No, but hazing is no.
We were
definitely
both
hazing.
Athletes, so it was like a team.
Oh, okay. It's a team hazing thing. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Got it.
And I picked Nick.
And she picked me.
Okay.
And then didn't talk to me for like 6 months.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then who reinitiated the...
Elise did. We saw each other out at like a party and then... Literally, were inseparable from that moment on.
Like, and they truly were, because I remember, like, when I moved to New York City after, you know, graduating Penn State, like, they were here and around, and you guys were together, and... Everyone knew Nick.
Yeah.
Like, Nick was just, like, an immediate friend.
I was just, like, we were attached to the hip, like, from moment one after that.
Okay.
Like, but we did not work together.
That's the part that we want to talk about on this show, because there might be like couples out there. We should start a business together.
Right.
And it doesn't, I remember when you guys started, it just was like, we're cooking up these bagel balls in the apartment.
It was like a side, was like a little side hobby.
It started as just a fun thing. And remember, this was,
this was like the cronut time, like when the cronut hit the city, and like it was like the biggest thing ever, right?
Right after Lehman crashes, everybody's like, what do we do? Oh my God, I thought, you know, the world was rainbows and butterflies. And all of a sudden being an entrepreneur was like sexy and like talked about. It wasn't just Wall Street anymore. Mm-hmm. And cronut emerges, Baked by Melissa is dazzling every corner here in New York
City.
Yeah,
like we would watch Shark Tank like every Friday night. And I would call her and be like, what about this idea? She'd be like, that sucks.
And I would shut down all of his ideas like a good wife. And then all of a sudden he had this dream and it was about bagels. And you know us, like we love bagels. Who doesn't love a good bagel? So
What were your jobs like during, before this?
We were on Wall Street.
Okay.
So kind of boring, not really
living. Both of you.
Yeah.
Both of us were. Yes. So we were both a little bored and just at the beginning of our careers. And then when he finally said bagels stuffed with cream cheese.
That was it.
I was like, that was I'm it. In.
Wow.
And we literally just Googled how to make a bagel.
Yeah.
I remember my brother was sleeping on my couch. So they're starting this business. My brother's on my couch and they were like, we're going to start this bagel, you know, company. And we want to send you the bagels. And they sent them over and
you're
had
free
them.
Bagels.
I was like, I'll take some bagels. Like,
Nobody would ever say no to that.
Right. And I go, send them over. Like maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll, you know, send them, you know, $5, you know, whatever. And I remember my brother was sleeping on my couch and he was like, he had no job. And he's going, did you even read a prospectus? I was like, it's a bagel fucking company. What are you talking about? A prospectus?
Dude, you missed out.
I didn't
know. You could have been an equity partner.
I tell this story to Harry all the time, and I'm like, and I could have been in early.
Could have been Lori.
So then they go on Shark Tank. They go on Shark Tank, and you know,
remember this episode. I've watched this episode.
You're not alone. I always say I know the Bantam Bagel people, and people are like, what, the pregnant woman?
Because you guys were on when it was like, I feel like it was more at a peak of popularity.
Like yeah, we got very lucky.
It was season six. That's when it really took off. And then since then, I mean, it's all in the book, but we realized how amazing the Shark Tank sort of like watcher is, because they root for you. And it's, you guys like, are entrepreneurs.
Right,
you know how tough it is. Like, yeah, you have customers and they follow you or like you, but there's a lot of opinions and there's a lot of judgment. And when you are on Shark Tank and they see the people behind and the hustle behind and like just the authenticity of what's going on behind the scenes, behind this bagel, you know, they root for you. And it's like, it wipes away a lot of the hater.
When the sharks like something, like, you get the deal.
Right.
That's like the immediate like badge of honor. Well, you pass
the
test.
Someone legitimate is endorsing this.
Right. Yeah. And like consumers like, of course I want
Other
this.
Than
like,
Jared Free.
Right. I mean, no, I was out.
He was the shark that passed. He was the shark that passed.
Prospectus. The numbers weren't right for me.
What's a prospectus?
I didn't fucking know. He was like, have you seen the numbers? I was like, I don't know shit. What am I going to look at numbers?
Like, you're on my couch.
You're on my couch. So then I'll never forget, because like, again, Shark Tank is like QVC with a, you know, a Hard Knocks element to it, like HBO Hard Knocks. You're seeing the story. You're seeing the young couple. And I remember you were pregnant on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And so that also adds an element. I'm a mom. We're starting this business. And you strike a deal with Lori.
Yeah.
And good partner, I'm sure.
I mean,
you probably, well, do you have anything? And Lori's a part of the book as well.
How old are you guys when you start?
So it's 2029, just a little younger than 30.
So you're 29. You're pregnant. Do you have any kids yet at the time?
No.
No, it's our first kid.
Okay. And where are you living?
Brooklyn.
Okay. And is there a point, you still have full-time jobs?
Yep.
So this is like your side thing until Shark Tank.
I quit my job to open up our first shop.
Okay.
So we had the shop open. It had already sort of exploded. We already got ourselves on QVC. You know, we were on Today Show and like we got some good local press and buzz going on.
Right.
Then we made it onto Shark Tank and that's when things really got real.
Okay.
And that's when he quit.
Yeah. Like we were on Oprah's Favorite Things at the end of 14.
Before
and
the
then Shark Tank,
Tank
aired in January 15, 2015. So it was like back to back.
Right.
Like we basically were shipping bagels all over the US.
So
and like,
at what point in your relationship, like at what point in this business are you like, what's this going to do to the marriage?
I mean,
it's, when does it fall apart?
It's funny because that is like the question we get asked the most. Like, right? how is it even fucking possible that
this
you guys did this
podcast
as a married couple? Like, how did you get through this? Right?
Wait, because can I interrupt you for 1 second? Yes. My favorite part about that question is how many people have asked us that question.
Right.
People can't, it like blows their mind.
Why do you think you're here right now?
That's the question we're here to answer.
We want to know, are you fucking? No. Yeah.
Honestly, for issues, like shit that was like, I think if we weren't running the business and we would have a fight, that fight would last like 3 weeks. And there would be like those silent, like, fuck yous, like not talking to each other
so
in the kitchen.
It was better for the relationship.
It changed relationship because like you had to get out of the way. Because you had other shit to do. Like,
right, you have to talk like, about numbers to send to Jared.
Yeah, like we got to get Jared the prospectus. Right. So we got to get past why the fuck you made broccoli for dinner.
But, but then do you wind up like sweeping a bunch of shit under the rug so you can keep moving?
In a good way. Sweeping.
Suburban mom rug just came out. It's all good. Everything's good.
No, but sweeping the shit that doesn't matter. Okay. Why, you know when you're like, oh, we have to stay up all night and work this out. You can't go to bed mad.
Right.
And, but really, if you just went to bed mad in the morning, you don't really
care
as much.
Right. Mm. I always like say that. I think it's fine to go to bed mad.
Right. If the issue is big enough, you'll think about it in the morning. If not, then don't
and
worry.
And that was just like this business. And like, listen, when you're starving, are you worried about like, you know, like self-actualization and like how good things are. And no, you're worried about finding food. That was like that time.
Right.
We were surviving. We were fighting every single day to literally make it to the next day. Like people only saw the sexy stuff because that's what the press covers. But underneath, we were struggling. We were staring at the ceiling. How are we going to get to the next day? Should we sell the house? Or how are we going to have a baby? How, you know, the kind of survival, the anxiety just to get from one day to the next was so humongous.
Is it hard to like separate? I guess what would end up, I would assume end up happening is that you have a big, you get on Oprah's Favorite Things and that's like, not just, that's a business win, but that's like the relationship win. Is
it's
it
like
hard?
A, it's like a,
I mean, it's all
like a
one, right? Mm-hmm.
And I guess it made, I guess looking back on it, because obviously we were married and everything personally is so intertwined in the business. It wasn't like those moments weren't huge, but it was always just like, what's the next thing? Like there was no time to like sit and bask in like getting on Oprah's Favorite Things or getting on Shark Tank, because behind the scenes, when you got on Oprah's Favorite Things, we had to figure out a way to make like 100,000 bagels that were going to ship to the people that were going to get the magazine in 6 weeks. So it was like, okay.
Oh, and then there was a winter storm where no one got their fucking bagels. And then we had to pay
for
it.
We ruined Christmas one year, like for an entire country.
It was like 200 disasters,
this
too
one.
Many fires. Yeah. And you
the one you live in.
and you're constantly, just when you're constantly in survival, then you're not worried about like the top of the pyramid.
Is a date night possible?
Definitely.
When you're doing a business together? Like, is that even possible to like put everything aside, kids, sitter, we're not talking bagels. Just we're doing, you know, can you even do that?
Like, it was hard.
To be realistic to someone out there who's like, I want to start a business with my wife or husband.
You're going to talk about it.
Date night's gone.
You're going to talk about, you're going to talk about the business. If you start the business, like it is your other baby, right? Like we made it like a very specific goal. Every Friday, we would go to the same wine bar right around the corner of our apartment in Brooklyn. And that was like the carrot we chased every week was like, all right, we're going to get to Brooklyn on Friday. We're going to sit down. We're going to have a drink. We're going to have a glass of wine and we're just going to decompress and kind of put all of the week back together. Mm-hmm. Just the two of us sitting here. And like, that was a really key thing, I think, for us to like stay grounded, like as a couple, to still hold on to that. Cause we would do that while we were working and Bantam wasn't a thing. Like, so it was like that one like vestige of what we used to do, we would still do to kind of make us feel like, okay, like we're still like husband and wife who like goes out, like we're still fun.
Jordana, do you relate to this as someone who started a company with their friends?
Oh yeah, for sure. It definitely feels like, but you don't live with your friends.
Right.
It's like the,
you can get away. You can yell at them.
Yes. You have your own husband. That's like not,
but I wonder about that because I always, when people say, how did you do this with your husband? I would say, how do you not? Like, it, when we would disagree, we adapted this thing where we would just say fuck you to each other. And that would end every argument. Mm. You would just literally go fuck
but
you.
But then doesn't the same thing come up again?
Yeah, but then you say fuck you again.
No, that was our that was our way of being like, this is one of those things that doesn't matter. And I'm, you know, when you just hold on to tension just because like now I'm in it.
Right.
Now, I can't let go because we're in this and I have to like that was like the white flag when you said fuck you, the person who said fuck you. But you can't do that with your friends.
Yeah, you can.
Oh.
Depends on the friends.
There's a fuck you set here at the Betches Corporation.
Of course. All the time.
I just feel like for us, it felt like it was easier and faster for us to get through any conflict that we had because we were living together. We were married. Like we were in it together.
Right.
Going like, home to different homes might slow that down.
It slows it down. Yeah. Like those conflicts are resolved instantaneously because like you just have to because you are going to sleep next to that person in 25 minutes.
And they get it because they're like in it.
Because they're also in it too.
Right. It's not like we usually, if you have one person who's like doing a startup, I would imagine the other person is like, doesn't necessarily understand why you don't have time for things or.
Right. And like everyone's roles are different.
Priorities.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So you have the same exact priorities.
Right.
Like is someone higher up in the business? Were you guys equals?
We were equal. I mean, Elisa's probably higher up to be honest.
It's probably higher. Okay. Like as far as making the decisions and running the team and telling him what to do.
Okay. Yeah. I was more of the ideas guy.
Did you ever butt heads over that?
No.
No. I mean, like there are a few things that we would have heated conversations about on like where to sell, the direction of like how to like innovate. Like that was kind of where my place was. Like I created the new products, created the new flavors. Like that was kind of where I was. And then there would be battles about whether a flavor was the right flavor. And then we would like, all right, fine. We're going to call like six people. You call six people, I'll call six people. Whoever gets the best answer, that's what we're going to do. Like it was just like instant answers are done. Like there was just like
no tiptoeing
around. Yeah. Like so, every decision was like,
and this is all in the book. We want people to go buy the book. A Shark Ate My Bagel. And it's Elisa's memoir about starting the company, being in a relationship while, you know, having the company, Lori coming involved, the sale of the company, I'm sure is covered here.
Yes.
Is it after that too? Like coming back to like a different world? I'm sure not being, you know, are you bagel people anymore? You know what? You know that's got to be a different transition now.
Oh, absolutely. So there's also the acquisition bringing you through that because that's also a little bit of a mysterious thing. You know, like
right, you
how
gotta
do
work
you
with some nerd consultant, some Johnny Wallets.
Well, I think the hardest thing is you've worked so hard to build this thing.
It's your baby. You just described it.
It is. And it's
as
like,
another child.
And you are so focused, I mean, on getting the best deal for the company and for the business because, you know, we had our parents invested, like all of our, you know, some of our close friends invested, like
not
my aunt and uncle, other than Jeremy.
close friends.
Thanks a lot, Harry.
And like all of those people's desires and hopes of the most success are like on your shoulders. So like you're going through these meetings and going through the process of like finding the best deal, finding the most money you can, the best terms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was also for us selfishly, like finding the best partner, like the best new home for what we had built. Right. Mm. Because we were, you know, when we got to the end of it and decided like who we were going to partner with, it was a full acquisition. Like it wasn't just, you know, raising capital and getting like, you know, injected capital to grow. And we stayed on for a few years, but it was finding that home for the thing that we literally poured everything into, was like just, it was so important.
And we want people to go on Amazon. We'll have the link. Can we put the link in the bio of this episode on YouTube and on the podcast app and go on Amazon? It was number one for best new
release.
New release on Amazon. People are eating it up.
50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she is returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Ulta, Fenty Beauty, Levi's, Adidas, and so much more. Seriously, the list seems endless. Rakuten is how the in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals. During Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th, the cash back rates are even bigger. Personally, I'll be shopping for beauty and apparel. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. You know I love to find the best deals while I'm shopping. And trust me, Rakuten is the hack to save money while shopping. Rakuten is the most rewarding way to shop and save because members can earn cash back on everything they buy. Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category like beauty, clothing, electronics, travel, and dining. And this week only, you're going to get the best deals ever. Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you can get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it. You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming up, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. Honestly, I love pretty much everything Skims makes, but I really love their t-shirts. They're like form-fitting, and they make my body just look that much smoother. I have the soft-smoothing seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It has amazing versatility. It is literally a must-have for a spring wardrobe. They're stretchy, they're flattering. You can dress it up or dress it down, and you don't have to worry about compromising style or comfort. I also have the cotton jersey t-shirt in marble, and it's really just changed the game for me. It's taking the regular t-shirt, it's leveling it up. There's no stretched collars or hems, and it literally fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select You Up in the drop-down menu that follows. Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
Did you guys ever, was there ever a point when you're in the beginning or maybe before you quit your job or something like that, where you discuss like, what if it doesn't work out between us? Who gets this business? Like any discussion about like what would happen if
like where does the kid stay like on weekends, like where does
well the, like what do you do like what do you do with it go? Like where is, I mean, like is that never
would
something
is
that never, something that ever crossed your minds of like, if you know, if this didn't work out, what would we do with
but
this business?
That's a really good question.
No one's ever asked us that.
No, and possibly one.
Well, it's kind of a rude question, I guess.
No, I don't think it's like, rude.
Did you sign a prenup? Well, we didn't.
Well, I mean, like, well, didn't even cross. You were already married when you had this, right?
Right.
So, like, that probably wouldn't even do anything. But it's more like, I don't know, like a biz, like a, was there something in there?
With like key man insurance
like a,
or something.
Like a post-nup.
Right. It's funny.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny to think that, like, if you did get a divorce, someone would be like, how'd you not talk about this? But, like, I can understand why not talking about that would happen. Like, that's right. More normal to me.
I guess right. It's just like the idea of like when you make the decision to do something like this and start your own something and like go all in, you just you're so convinced it's going to work that
right.
The thought of how do you set up if it doesn't,
but not the business not working, the marriage.
I just think it's like,
but
I guess
that
maybe
all gets rolled in too.
I guess for us, maybe it was unique because it felt like it was all the same. Like
same
it
thing.
Was just like so intertwined. There was like, I don't think I can even think of any moment where we were like, this is us as a married couple. Or
well,
this
let
is
me
us
put that
like,
back on you.
Right.
Do you, what would happen if Betches broke up?
If like we weren't friends?
Yeah.
I mean, that I think you see happen all the time with these companies where like, you know, two friends start a business and then they just don't speak to each other or someone buys each other out or something like that. But like, I think it's different. I don't know. It feels different when you're
married
to an extent, maybe not.
Maybe I would even say maybe the marriage thing makes it easier, like just based on what you guys are saying, like the way it's rolled into one, like there's no
right. You have all the same dependents, so
right,
you probably
yeah.
Right, yeah.
Our prior, you know how in relationships often like when there's conflict, it's about like I did more than you did. Right. You're like listing off in your head. Yeah, but I did the fucking laundry and I did this and that. And I took the kids. And then, oh, well, I was at the office all day. Right. So everybody's counting what they did.
Right.
Something about when you have, when your work and your life are the same list, it doesn't matter anymore who did what.
We just got to knock out the
list. Well, you have all of the same exact goals.
Yeah.
Maybe so this is what, I think for that. Well,
maybe we should be telling couples to start businesses together.
Listen, if you're married, start a business. That's it.
Well, it's like those super ordinate goals, you know? Like, it's like, how do you bring two people who are far apart together? You give them the same goals to work on.
Right. So, and it's like, I think being married, you've already taken that step in a way, right? Like, you've already, like, you have the same goals. You want to be together forever. You want to, you know, potentially have kids. You want to, like, spend the rest of your life. So you've made that commitment. And I think adding a business that you're both equally as invested in.
Right. I just wonder, like, let's say it was on the rocks, right? I feel like it would be this moment of like, would I have to kind of eat shit because I am in, my lives are so intertwined.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a risk you might think about.
Yeah, we did it. We should have.
I'm a cynic. I'm just wondering what the worst, I try to think of the worst case scenario but it sounds like, again, like you're past that point. It's like you didn't even have to think about it. That's like amazing. That was never.
You're right. And it is a rare thing that we would just be so aligned and so in tandem and so be able to just say, fuck you and move on. And like, it didn't bubble up afterwards. And you're right. It almost sounds too dreamy. That's, I don't know how to explain it other than it just worked and we were surviving. And I think now we've had to go through the work of like being, you know, he's off starting other businesses. I was writing the book on my own and making sure that we're not like keeping track. Like, yeah, but I'm doing these 45 things and what are you doing? And I have to remind myself now not to do that.
So you're saying it was easier before.
I was just going to say, I think,
and I also have to remind myself now to like celebrate his wins, where before everything was a common celebration. Right. Okay, we did this, like he's got this, you know, tech business. Oh, that's great. Like actually be interested and excited and like cheer him on rather than see it as like, okay, well that means you can't bring Chase a soccer. So thanks.
What are
so
the now kids going to
do? It's very interesting. Seats,
right? I think it's interesting because I was thinking like maybe the mortgage for couples could be this thing, but there's no win with a mortgage.
Yeah.
Like the win is, I guess, just being able to pay
to
it.
To live somewhere.
Like you don't think of it in the same, a business, there's no Oprah's favorite things for the mortgage, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
But it is something that keeps marriages together. They're like, this is our common goal. We have a financial thing going on. I don't know.
Right. And like I guess you were together 10 years, right? Before you started.
Yeah.
So you have a foundation. It's not like you just met and you're like, let's start this thing, kind of know how each other operate before you made that decision to go into business with someone. Yeah,
that's true.
No, but I do think the idea of, you know, now not having Bantam as like a joined, you know, shared responsibility has been something that has just like changed the way that we interact with each other. Like, cause just, we have to, like to Elise's point, like she's spent a year and a half writing this amazing book and, you know,
get it on Amazon, link in the bio.
And I'm like trying to start like a home renovation, like construction company, like two vastly different paths that we are both taking on our own. And I think like, it really is true. Like we've had to step back and like congratulate each other and like acknowledge each other's work on what we are doing away from each other.
Yeah, which I would think say from the beginning was like now than really, we did before.
You talk more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Because, you know, you just presume that the other person hears your brain waves when you spend every second with them.
Right.
And our team who worked for us would be like, you sit across 6 inches from this man. Like, how do you not know what we just talked about? Right. And I'd be like, I don't know. And now we actually make a point to be like,
How was your day?
We didn't have that for a 10-year period where, because like our day was like tied to each other.
In that 10-year period, were there ever points where you were like, all right, I've had like enough of you. Like, I don't, like, I've been with you all day and then I've gone home with you and we're doing everything together. Like, I'd like a little break.
Don't be mad if I say no.
That's amazing.
As their friend, I would say that that's not in their nature.
We are together always.
Because I listened to that Esther, I don't know her last name.
Perel,
okay, and it was fascinating because she brought up so many things and you brought up so many questions that I just never had considered. And I do think there's the nuance that she said of like, you also have to add in personality.
Right.
Like, it's not just an answer.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah, not one size fits all.
Our personalities just aren't like that. You know, so right. that is part of what works. And like, I guess if you were considering working with your husband or boyfriend or something, maybe it's a gut check.
Do you
on
want
your personality.
To see them all the time?
Right. Do you want
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Right.
yeah. Do you need that?
Not like, that that's separation. Right or wrong. As I'm saying, like, I think sure. it's like exactly like you're saying. It's like, does it work in your nature together to spend this much time together? Or are you people who operate better when you go do your own things and then come back to each other at the end of the day?
A lot of people do.
Right. Well, also yeah. to come back, when you have a kid with someone, these are, you got to want to spend time with that person to have the kid together, you know, to sure. go with the business being one of the kids.
Right.
I think it's, you know, I didn't expect to ask this, but I guess the more, you know, pressing thing for someone who's listening, maybe in a relationship right now, what would you advise if they're dating someone who's in the entrepreneurial world? How would you, like, how, as a partner, because now you're basically... Now you're in a relationship with someone starting a business, both of you separately. So yes. what would you say to like someone like, I'm dating someone who's an entrepreneur or I'm an entrepreneur who's dating someone who's not.
Yes.
How do you support, what's a, what do you, Jared, how do you support each
can
other?
Can I also just say every time I see you and like listen to your stuff and just catch up with you, I feel for his dating life. And I'm like,
that's right. for anyone that's right. who's right. any
I was
sad soul that would go
Chinese
on a date
with one of your girlfriends that I swore you were going to marry. And we were like, I met every one of his girlfriends like throughout the years as you were starting out. I've always seen your career as being an entrepreneur, like what you're doing. Your product is just like you.
That's right. You know? I'm a slut. Put my body out there for these people every day.
I think it's unbelievably difficult to understand what an entrepreneur the weight of being an entrepreneur is when you're not in those shoes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's
unbelievably difficult. So I think if you're the companion, it's really like having a understanding the weight of what that person is carrying every day, like to get from one day to the next, the financial burden every single day, every single tweet, every single email, every single thing that you do, every step you take forward is a really, really big fucking deal and comes with a lot of weight and like a lot of risk.
Well, I think, exactly. The weight, because like if you're dating someone and they're starting a business, like they're making the biggest, riskiest choice of their entire life. And if you don't recognize that in them and that they're making that decision and like you as the person who is not stepping out and becoming an entrepreneur and starting your own thing, if your expectations are that they are going to, I don't know, just like, it feels like you have to acknowledge how hard of a decision that is to make. Right. And I feel like relationships don't work if both people are not
right.
taking
similarly
sized risks.
If you're mad that they're on email
risks.
Or on the phone during the weekend. You,
it's right. It's like Saturday. Like, how are you working? You're like, I have to work every day because I've put all of myself into this thing. And
I've
want to
always
make it successful.
Said that like, it's hard to explain the things you do for no money. Yeah. And it's like, it's a combination of like doing things for, and then someone looks at you and goes, you don't have to do that. And you go, I don't have to do anything I do.
Right.
And then, you know, like, I don't have to be here with you right now.
Yeah. Right.
So I choose to.
I'm choosing to, but I choose to do these things because what will come of it?
Right. And if it was easy, everyone would do it. And I think that's like what differentiates from someone who's like willing to go out on their own and start their own thing and like take the risk. Like there is just that. It's a different level of work.
But you know what I would say? Like if you are the entrepreneur with the non-entrepreneur partner, it is sort of your responsibility to at least bring that person along with what you're doing and why you're doing. Why
that's
doing
a stressful,
what you're
doing. But listen, as someone who is like, you know, I feel bad about that. Like I agree. Your whole life is mixed in. The difference between personal life and business are just mixed. I'm sure you felt that here.
Yeah.
It's all together.
It's all, the same thing.
It's all you.
Right.
So like, you know, I feel bad, like even telling someone that I'm not sure if we're going to be like serious or not about something in my day. Cause I'm like, I'm now making it their problem too. You know, like I'm now making it their emotional thing to have to like work through with me, you know,
bring them on tour with you, make them your opening act. That's the way to solve the issue, right?
I think
now you're
right.
in business together,
right?
Yeah.
Now we're a duo.
I mean, like understanding, explaining, like if I weren't to do this tour, this is what it would do. this is the anxiety it would give me. This right. is what I would lose out on. This right. is what I see it leading into. Mm-hmm. Like there are other
vision. In
other value. Yes. Other value-based things that like human beings can understand, you know, no, they don't have to be you.
I guess I was thinking of it a different way. Like, just like, you know, hey, want to come with me and do these shows? You know, I'm going to do these shows and come with me on the road. And then you mind selling the t-shirts? And I'd be like, ah, I can't do, you know, like I would yeah. feel.
No, you don't have you to know, do that. Right, I think you right. need to bring someone along for the emotional ride, like the shit you're really going through.
Right.
And okay. why you're really doing what you're doing, why you have to answer that email at that time, you know?
And where you see it going.
Because like, you see like divorces in older people when it's like, he worked too much.
Mm. Right.
Like, oh, that's a problem around. For you? It's only a problem because that person didn't understand what they were doing and why the hell they were doing it.
Right. What was the dream? What was the, you know, yeah.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon chair to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to come up with that same look at home. Even the best blowout brush won't give you that salon shine. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair that I've always wanted. Now I love the way my hair looks and feels. It's like salon fresh hair that starts at the roots. I have the Grow Hair Serum, and I can already tell that it's working. Like my hair feels healthier. I love that it doesn't make my hair feel oily or sticky. I feel like I'm doing something really healthy for my hair. I also got to try the lash serum and the brow serum. Honestly, my hair has been hard to grow, so I love what Vegamore is doing, and I'm already seeing results. I'm already seeing thicker, faster growing hair. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best-looking results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker-looking hair. When I sign up for monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more, and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Give your hair the power of a little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, UUP listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP. You know that feeling when you're going on your first date with the person you've been seriously crushing on and realize you have absolutely nothing to wear? Maybe you find yourself wishing you had the perfect pair of jeans, the one you can fancy up, fancy down, and just look better every time you wear them. Well, that's why you need to check out Lee Denim. I love Lee Denim. I'm wearing them today in the office. I'm wearing their jeans. I love, they also have this other pair that I have at home that I'm really excited to wear. It's like a little baggier, but it's still so comfortable, and yet it's still so flattering. I don't know how they do it. Every time you wash it, they also look even better. And I love that they flatter every body type. Denim trends come and go, but Lee is legendary for creating denim cuts that fit your body. Their denim gets better with age, and their classics fit into every look. Lee's denim jacket is the one to reach for without fail, a classic. The Rider Jean jacket is the OG, what every other brand has copied for decades. Everyone is an icon in their own right, and Lee makes denim so people can own their style and feel good in their clothes. Their spring collection is here, so get the freshest looks and cuts before anyone else. You can find your Lee fits by visiting lee.com. That's lee.com to shop spring looks now.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Do you feel like the marriage would be as strong if the business tanked?
Oof, that is a good question.
Yes. I like how Jordana went negative.
I try to go negative.
I'm trying to think of
the idea of starting a business with my husband, like all the things I would think of as like potential like issues. Like I think that obviously like the business worked out, and so like everything seemed to have worked out with the business, and I'm just wondering like if it didn't, would that have affected the relationship like negatively? I think there's no way to know,
but I think there's no way to say it wouldn't have affected it. Mm-hmm. But it just is a matter of like how it would have affected it and what we would have been like coming out of it. Like, well, if a business, if something that you invest so much of your time doesn't work.
Because usually it doesn't, right? Like, isn't that like the business thing? Like right. the most right. businesses don't work out.
Right. I mean, we feel very fortunate and lucky that, you know, we worked hard and it worked.
Well,
right.
I think it's so important, like, because it's all in, I'm kind of thinking about this on the fly, but like, cause the marriage and the business and the kids, mm-hmm. it's all one thing. It's all one ball.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. you couldn't separate it.
Right.
You couldn't dissect them, the one from
couldn't
the other.
Couldn't take it all apart. Right.
So it's like, I do think that like the stronger the marriage, the stronger the business. Like mm-hmm. there's no chance, you know, like the idea that it would fail, like
the stronger the business, the stronger the marriage, I would imagine.
Right, it goes all together. Yeah. Like, there must have been a point where you're like, there's no fail here. We have a successful business.
I mean, there was like, literally we would say like, there is no option for this not to be successful. We are going to make it successful, and that's just what it's going
to
be.
Well, that's kind of the attitude you have to have in marriage too, I think, a lot of the time of like, the option is that we're going to work through this. It's not like, you're not giving yourself like the option of the out.
Right, yeah, Bantam may become something else. Is like always an option to make it survive.
Right.
Right. This marriage might become something else to make it survive.
Yeah. And that may be a nature nurture type of argument. But if you're the kind of person, like you said, with marriage,
right.
If I'm getting married, like this is it.
Right.
Till
right.
death. And then you decide, like, I don't care if we're mad at each other. I don't care. Like, of course we've had fights, but like, I don't care. I know they're not going to make us get divorced.
Right.
I just know we're going to be together forever. So, you know, eventually you're going to work through anything.
Right.
Right. Listen, we want everyone to go buy the book. A Shark Ate My Bagel. It was number one on Amazon, the new book section. The link is in the bio. It's great. I love it. And it's inspirational. It's telling people about becoming entrepreneurial, the struggles, the wins, the losses, the whatever.
The wins and losses. Yeah, the kids. Yeah.
I mean, ties.
But also brings you along for the real journey. Like, really.
The untold story. Yes. What is this? Behind the entrepreneur.
Tons of drugs.
The cocaine, the women.
Just flip to chapter 20.
Right. Well, I back to what you said, like, if the marriage didn't work, I would think, like, you get that big check from Lori, and Nick's like, let's go out to a bar. And you're like, what? the business would end right, you know, that's the beginning of the end, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's go put this in our nose right now. And he's like, what? What happened to you?
Well, we were going to make a bagel company.
Right.
You know, there must be something to it because when we made our deal with Lori, she also, you know, it's not so public, but it's a little bit, I guess, known that she works as a partner with her husband too. And they husband and wife partnership.
Interesting.
And they love that. Like, they look for that dynamic. So there must be something to it where people are making it work.
And I think we learned a lot from them.
From the two of them.
On, like, how to work together. Like, because Lori is obviously a massive celebrity and, you know, known by everyone. And her husband is this incredible, like, partner to her.
Right.
No one really knows about, but they do. Right. And, like, they work because they are so tight.
Right.
And again, to go back to like who's in charge when Nick says, you know, at least probably made him one of the decisions. You probably look at them in that way, that the dynamic of like someone's got to be out front, you know, being Lori and someone's got to be in the back, you know, coming up with cream cheese. You know, like that does.
The back guy and cream cheese.
That's a cream cheese guy. That's what I always called Nick. I think it's interesting for someone to hear the success story. They should go read the book.
Totally.
A shark ate my bagel. But the Lori and the husband, you're not my only friends who have been on Shark Tank.
Right.
Isn't this crazy? I know three
drawn to
separate businesses.
How many of those prospectuses did you get?
Read them all? Maybe you invested in none.
Maybe you're friends because they've all tried to solicit you for investment.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Look, Elise always looks at me like she can't believe that I live a life. That's like Elise's
hard stop. Just live a life.
Amongst people.
I can't believe you are living.
Right. What's the advice you give to anyone that like is thinking of starting a business with their partner? Like, what's the one thing that you...
The parting gift.
Make sure your idea is a good idea.
Don't fuck up.
I'm serious.
Everything go on Shark Tank, they'll tell
you. Has nothing to do with your partner. Like, you, of course, yes. But at the end of the day, you guys have to have a really, really good idea. It has to be proven and solid and like scalable.
Does Shark Tank have super fans?
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Do you come across them?
Yes. We got, so there's a funny story. Like we actually got, back in the heyday, when I was saying we were on one of those earlier right. episodes. And so because of that, we actually got to be really tight with Lori and her husband and some of the producers. And mm-hmm. we would have them at our house and we would hang out in the city. And we were on several follow-ups. Like I think we were on Shark Tank about 7 times.
But I remember guys going on a follow-up was like a big deal. Like that was like a huge deal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like where are they now? Well, they only showed the good ones.
Yeah.
Right.
And like that was seriously, and if you got one, that just again was like that confirmation to the viewing public that like, oh my, holy shit, these guys are crushing it.
And a lot of good marketing for you guys, reminding everyone about your business.
Incredible, and bringing them along for the ride. So what was the question?
She answered the question. Good idea.
No, the Shark Tank super fans.
Oh yeah. And so we, at that point in time, we were definitely being recognized, you know, like, and there was once at an airport, we were recognized. Oh my God, are you the Bagels? And we would say, yeah, we're the Bagels. Oh, yes. And we would take a selfie and whatever. And then as we get in this like 8 a.m. flight, I'm wearing no makeup, hardly a bra, sweats, like the whole thing, the plane gear. Right. Sure. And then I plop down in row 24, middle seat.
Next to this woman?
Next to the
next
same
to
woman.
The fan? Next.
She's like, how's the success going?
And you just signed yourself up for like a
3-hour Shark Tank.
Yeah. Q&A. Yeah.
I saw her texting her friends and like inconspicuously, like taking a picture. I was like, oh God.
They come over and give you the snacks. She's like, give them our pretzels. They eat it.
I don't need it. They do. She can barely get an aisle seat.
Well, it's not all glam.
So happy you guys came on. Nick
this
and Elise Alexak. It's Elise Alexak's book, co-founder of Bantam Bagels. A Shark Ate My Bagel. If you're watching on YouTube, we're holding it up. We got it in our hands. It's a beautiful book. Amazon. Go hit the link, get the book, get inspired, learn the struggles, the wins, the ties, the love that made a business.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Happy you guys came.
Thank you guys for having us.
That's our Sunday special. We did it again.
That's it. Bye.
Boom.
The UA Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico, Sean Kilby, and Candice Maniga. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico and Shannon Sassone. Social media by Candice Maniga. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at u.up.podcast on Instagram and send us your emails to uup@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Netflix. Bridgerton is back. And dearest gentle readers, you will not want to miss this chapter. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom, but she needs Colin's help to find a marriage match. Will these friends defy expectations to find true love? And will Penelope's secret identity as Lady Whistledown destroy any chance she may have at love? You shall have to watch and see. Watch part 1 of Bridgerton, only on Netflix, May 16th.
Betches.